Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. My name's Kevin Swanson. Coming to you from my basement out here in Springfield, Colorado. And Bill Jack is in studio with me today.
I'm the side nudge.
Yep. And we are going to talk about culture today on the program. I like to think of culture, which, as I understand it, Bill, culture is
the manifestation
of worldviews.
Oh. We're not talking
live
yogurt
out
culture.
Their worldviews.
Yeah.
Enculturate their worldviews. No, it's not yogurt.
Yeah.
This would be culture in the form of music, movies, fill in the blank. Okay. So here is a story from Christianity Today about Beyoncé. Do you know who Beyoncé is?
Yes.
I've been following her somewhat.
Yeah.
She's been getting big. And my understanding is she's one of the top four biggest stars today by album sales. Most of the top stars are women, by the way, in terms of album sales today. It's interesting. I didn't realize that. But Rihanna is number one. Taylor Swift is number two. Lady Gaga, number three. And Beyonce comes in at number four. So she's the fourth most popular singer today of the 2000s, of the last 14 years. She is number four. Just under Rihanna, Taylor Swift, and Lady Gaga. So she's pretty big stuff.
Yeah. Married to Jay-Z.
Yep. And here is the story. An Atlanta church worships Beyonce. So the church gathers together, group of Atlantans, Georgia, have begun a church that focuses solely on worshiping none other than the Queen Bey herself. National Church of Bey, it's called. They gather to sing the former Destiny's Child members' hits every Sunday, known to have some of the most dedicated fans in the world, whom she refers to as Beys. Beyonce has achieved not only global fame, but a cult following. So I would say that would be the wrong religion, though. This is where the star system gets out of control.
You got to imagine that she's a bit embarrassed by this. She's flattered,
so.
I'm sure,
so.
But embarrassed because that's even a step beyond or beyond what she would endorse. It's kind of like the Church of Oprah.
The minister, Diva Pauline John Andrews, criticizes those who have condemned the church's views and calls for a willingness to be open to their unusual beliefs. That's pretty postmodern, see?
We should be tolerant.
We should be, yeah.
And you know what? They can believe anything they want to.
Yeah.
People are free in our culture to believe what they wish. They just can't apply it in culture as they wish.
Right. They can believe what they want, but they're going to come to account on it someday. So,
right.
And we have to give them the heads up on that from time to time, which we do.
And you know, the beauty of this is that we live in a culture that allows diversity.
Mm-hmm.
Except when it comes to laws, we have to decide on what foundation will our laws rest in order to provide a free society. And there's only one foundation that provides liberty for all, and that is a biblical worldview that says there is one truth. You may choose to reject it, but you will abide by the laws under that one truth. So we have the Church of Bey, okay? They're free to exist in only one place in a culture that says that Christianity reigns supreme.
Yeah.
In every other culture, the Church of Bey would be squashed.
Yeah.
It would be unbelievable.
Right. And we would be the first also to say, you shall have no other gods before.
Yes.
The one and true
yes.
God. And yet, I think we also have to remember that there are people who gather every single Sunday to worship themselves.
That's true.
So there's that too.
Yeah.
So people worship gods of materialism, gods of themselves, gods of they.
We live in a state where a lot of people.
Sports stars.
Yeah. People come to Colorado to worship nature.
Oh, yes, they do.
Yeah.
Yes. People worship all kinds of things. So it's important for people like us to remind them that they should repent of that.
Yes.
And serve and worship the true and living God. Otherwise, they will be miserable. Unless you worship the true and living God. Okay, so I'm also checking out Beyonce because I don't know very much about her. And another article on Christianity Today, this came out actually a couple of months ago. And apparently, she and Jay-Z performed a memorable rendition of her new single, Drunk in Love, on Sunday night's Grammy Awards. And so now, this Sharon Hode Miller is analyzing this. She says, since that night, a debate has ensued over a central question. Was their performance good for marriage? And she's in many ways, the comparison between Carter's performance and the Song of Songs is apt. Both celebrate the physicality, sensuality, sexuality of marriage. both affirm that married people can have vibrant sexual lives, et cetera, et cetera.
There's a difference.
There's a difference here. Yeah. There's a difference. A couple differences. Because I didn't watch the video.
I didn't see it either.
But I read the lyrics for Drunken Love. And I don't think the Song of Songs includes the F word.
No.
I didn't double check it. But I don't think it does. There's some differences. Not a lot of references to bodily fluids and that sort of thing.
It is a very frank.
Yeah.
It's frank. And it's frank. There's a lot of metaphors in it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But sure. Here's the difference. Mm-hmm. Here's the main difference is what Jay-Z and Beyonce did. Was it Jay-Z performed with her? Mm-hmm. That was a public performance.
Yes, it was.
It was a public display of something that was very intimate between a man and a woman in the Song of Songs.
Typically, you know, my wife and I would not want to, you know, make love in front of 50,000 people.
No.
You know, I don't think that would be appropriate for a marriage.
But that's exactly what that performance
was.
That's
the kind of thing. Right. So, she's up there singing lingerie, and I just don't think it's right for a husband to have his wife up there in lingerie
displayed.
I just don't think that's this doesn't sound much like 1 Timothy 2:9. In like manner, the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, shamefacedness, sobriety, braided, not broided hair, gold, silver, etc., etc.
Here's the
picture of chastity that Peter brings out. Behold, they should look at your chaste conversation coupled with fear, adorning, let not be outward adorning, et cetera, et cetera.
And here's the even bigger picture, and that is, what is marriage? Is a picture of the church in Christ.
Yeah.
And Christ would not walk his bride to be lusted after.
Yeah.
Publicly. He would not perform in lewd manner and have her perform in lewd manner. And yet that is what the culture is calling the church to do.
They do.
So we have the Church of Bay, which is a lewd and lustful display.
And the lyrics. I don't know if you've checked out AZ lyrics or, you know, figured out the sort of lyrics. You know, I was thinking I was reading Playboy for a second.
Right.
Honestly, there weren't any pictures, thankfully. But I'm reading the lyrics on Drunken Love and her latest that came out just a month ago. Can't remember what it was. And so I'm reading these things, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is promoting serial fornication. This is very, very, very explicit. The most degraded possible language for the sanctified, God-blessed marital act. You know, you degrade the act. You degrade it. You can take something beautiful and degrade it using certain language. Certain language forms. Yeah.
Language carries ideas.
It does.
Ideas have consequences.
Right.
And so the language plays in the theater of the mind. Right. One of the beauties of lyrics and music, one of the beauties of music is that it allows us to memorize quickly things that are important. You know, we teach our kids sing-songy rhymes, you know, to memorize things. And we set... I learned a lot of my theology, not from sermons, but from the great hymns of the faith.
Yes.
And by taking words that convey ideas and setting them to music, what you're doing in Beyonce's case is you're degrading values. You're degrading something that is very sacred, and it sticks in people's minds. Yeah. And what sticks makes them think that way. And how they think will determine how they act. And that is the problem here.
What I'm wondering is what happens to 30 million kids who listen and watch Beyonce say the F word in lingerie? You know, what happens? You know, what happens? It seems to me it's not healthy.
I was just at the stoplight yesterday. Uh-huh. I was going one direction and I was sitting at the stoplight and This was a major highway, and the traffic was kind of jammed up, and my window was down, and across in the opposite lane, there was a car full of teenagers, and their window was down, and as they passed me slowly, I heard the F word.
Yeah.
And then my head snapped over.
Yeah.
There were boys and girls in the car together. Mm-hmm. And if I'd had the opportunity, they passed me, I would have yelled something like, hey, watch your language. There are women in that car.
Yeah.
There are girls in that car. You're to respect the women and not use that language. But now what you've just said is that the women are using that same language.
Oh, yeah.
The crudity.
Yeah. It's worse than it ever has been.
Yeah.
The top the top 40 singers constantly singing some of the worst things, sometimes even celebrating rape, promoting rape.
Right.
Heard that in some of the top one or two songs in the nation.
There are ways that guys talk with each other that they won't talk, used to not talk in front of girls. There are ways that girls talk to each other that they would not talk in front of guys. That barrier has been broken
now
down.
It's all degraded to the absolute lowest possible denominator we've ever seen. And I think what we're seeing is the destruction of relationship, the destruction of sexuality, the destruction of anything that is good. These things will be destroyed if people immerse themselves in these forms. Here's something else that's interesting. I've followed this controversy now for about a year. Somebody introduced me to it about a year ago. Apparently, Beyonce uses a number of satanic symbols. Now, I'm not just saying just because somebody uses satanic symbols, they are satanic. But it is interesting she uses pentagrams. She uses the goat-headed idol a fair amount. And she even refers to a spirit, and she calls the spirit a name, Sasha Fierce. And she says, this is a quote from Beyonce herself, "I depend on that spirit to give me energy in the performance. When Sasha comes in, when Sasha Fierce takes over and begins to animate me, then I get fierce." Now, stop for a moment. That's weird. That's just really weird. That's, you start referring to somebody taking over, and she's got a name.
Right.
Okay, this reminds me a little bit of Jesus referring to the demoniac, saying, "What's your name?" And he says,
My name is Legion.
Yeah.
"For I am many."
That's multi-personality, or that's demon possession, or that's psychosis. That's something.
Right.
That's, people used to have to be taken off to insane asylums if they introduced other characters.
Right.
In their lives.
If she said this.
These are people who are going to wind up in insane asylum, mental institutes, okay, for things like demon possession or psychoses.
If your cousin or aunt were talking this way, you would expect that, well, you would recommend counseling very quickly.
Right. And you would expect the men with the white uniforms to be.
But because Beyonce says it, it is accepted. Now, you said the word weird.
Strange.
You said it was weird.
I did say it was weird.
What is the etymology of the word
pagan
weird?
Pagan word, it refers to the fates.
Yeah,
but it just refers to, you know, the gods, not the true and living God.
Right.
But
see,
but
even our our language conveys ideas.
It sure does.
In ways that we sometimes don't realize.
She's big, though. Beyonce is huge. You understand how important this character is? Which means to me that I think that the culture today is very much influenced by the powers of darkness. And I say that because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. I mean, that's what Paul said in Ephesians 6. So I have to believe that there must be powerful forces that have tremendous influence upon our cultures to the point where 80 million teenagers are running down the highway listening to music and effing this and effing that. Something happened between 1960 and today to affect our culture to the point where, Bill, they're not singing the Lazy Hazy Crazy Days of Summer anymore. It ain't Doris Day, "How Much Is That Doggy in the Window?" You understand me?
Yes.
They may be singing about doggies, but it ain't the same doggy that Doris Day was singing about in 1956. Something's happened to the culture. You with me here?
Yeah.
Am I off base at all?
It's interesting because you hearken back to, you know, a more innocent time, perhaps. But even when the Beatles, and, you know, my parents told me about the Beatles.
Uh-huh, right.
Even when the Beatles were popular, mm-hmm. at one point there was such controversy surrounding a statement that they made mm-hmm. that people burned their records.
Right.
They
we're more famous albums. Than Jesus. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, they were
more
lifting
popular
themselves up.
Than yeah. Jesus. Mm-hmm. And as a result, there was a backlash. Well, now you have the Church of Bay.
Yeah.
And you have
same deal.
Beyonce mm-hmm. referring to spirit guides.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is going to encourage students, mm-hmm. teenagers, to investigate that.
Sure.
It is the gateway to that. And
sure.
so, you know, we shouldn't be surprised, but we should be cautious.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, but Beyonce was part of Destiny's Child.
Yes, she was.
And Destiny's mm-hmm. Child was kind of a crossover group from, wasn't it Christian to pop?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And a lot of people did. Katy Perry did the same thing. You know, she started out singing Amazing Grace.
Right.
And she had her Christian albums. And now she's encouraging 13-year-olds to be lesbians, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, there. I think most of these big stars started out in Christian roots and then worked their apostasy. And that's an entire section of my book, Apostate. You know, I deal with the cultural apostates because I think they're the ones leading today. They're leading the culture. And they're leading the culture the wrong way, the wrong direction. By the way, Rutgers University has a class you can take on Beyoncé. It's called Politicizing Beyoncé. There's a syllabus for it. There's a professor here. He compares and contrasts the singer's music videos and lyrics with important works with a black feminist movement. So, you know, if you want to take something really irrelevant to anything.
Wait.
Imagine graduating from college saying, I took this class, Beyoncé. Can I get this job working for this company?
I don't think I have time to work that in with my underwater basket weaving class.
Okay. Craziness.
It's a conflict.
There's something very, very destructive that's happening to our culture right now, and it's counterproductive. I think what Bill was saying is important. Man, you've got to discern. You know what's helpful for me? You can listen to the music or watch the videos, and it can suck you in. It can.
Yes.
Pull you right in. But if you just go to azlyrics.com before you listen to the music, just read the lyrics. Say, you know what? She's used the F word 17 times. She's singing about rape. She's talking about serial fornication. She's drunk, and she's waking up in her own throw-up. That doesn't sound like a very good song to me.
It doesn't sound like a Philippians 4.
No, it doesn't. You can think rationally about it, I think, if you read the lyrics. First, don't bother with the music. Please don't listen to the top 40 stations till you've read the lyrics. At azlyrics.com, do the analysis. Be discerning. We're telling you to be discerning. Don't be an idiot.
You know, one of the things we do at Worldview Academy is we do a whole segment, one of my partners does, on art.
Yeah.
And how do you define art? You know, most people say art is beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Well, that's not true. God has an opinion about everything. He has a standard for everything. And so how do you determine what is good art and bad art? Now, we're not talking a checklist here.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about there's art that is true.
Mm-hmm.
And there's art that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
One may not be the other. Okay. Mm-hmm. I can sing a song to my wife. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. She wouldn't think that's very beautiful.
No.
Right words,
not communicating the idea well.
So good art is both true and beautiful. Mm-hmm. It reflects both.
Very good.
And it's a great lecture by Jeff Baldwin. If you ever get a chance, you need to come to Worldview Academy and sit in on his lecture.
I just got a book from him, by the way. I want to interview him on his new book.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break in just a moment, friends. Be back. This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you. Bill Jack also in the studio. Here we are on the last day at the bottom of the ninth, two outs, bases loaded. We have Swanson on first, Boyer on second, and Bill Jack on third.
I tell you, it sure has been a Super Conference championship.
Well, here comes their heavy hitter, Vody Bachum.
You know, he sure has had a great year. He's been knocking out of the park, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah, on a pretty regular basis. Well, there's the windup and the pitch. It's a long fly ball down the right field line. It has the distance. And you can kiss it goodbye. Another home run, a walk-off grand slam. Ryan, wake up, bud. Wake up.
Did I miss it?
Did you miss what?
The Rocky Mountain Super Conference on the family.
No, that's not till June 12th to 14th.
Oh, that's good. With all the heavy hitters this year, I do not want to miss this one.
Well, it's pretty easy to sign up. All you have to do is go to check.org.
Check.org?
Yeah, check.org. But you'd better sign up today. You're not going to want to miss this one. And we're back on Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack also here. And we talked a little bit about Beyoncé. We talked about what's going on in the pop culture world now, the Christian culture world, the CCM culture. And I mentioned this last week that the lead singer for Jars of Clay has tweeted his support for, quote-unquote, Gay Mirage. I just don't see a negative effect to allowing gay marriage. No, no scriptures, no societal breakdown, no war on traditional marriage, anyone. And later on, he said, I don't particularly care about scripture's stance on what is wrong. I care more about what it says on how we should treat people. Now, later on, he regretted saying that he went a little too far on that one. But Dan Hasseltine has come out and he's supporting him. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that he wants to be loving and kind and accepting. This is the basis for it. He said, I've received so many great messages from gay Christians. You have encouraged me. So many gay couples display more loving characteristics and healthy relationship practices than most traditional marriage couples. Wow. Wow. That's the latest from him. Ergo, gay marriage people more loving than traditional marriage. Problem, of course, is how to define love.
Exactly.
We've said this before. Yeah. Homosexuals love their friends.
Yeah.
And cannibals love their victims.
That's
they
right.
taste good. So how do you want to define love? Is love huggy-dovey?
And what is the most loving thing you could do
for
somebody?
It could be, you might have a dictator that's running around hugging people. He hugs all his friends. And then he does some of those wicked things possible.
The Nazis love their kids.
He's loving his pets. And we don't want to talk about how he loves his pets.
I love you to death.
So love. Yeah, love. Love. The Bible says, you love me, keep my commandments. One of the best ways you can love somebody is by honoring fathers and mothers, by not stealing from them, by not killing them, by making sure that sexuality occurs within the bonds of marriage, not their marriage, but your own.
Right.
On and on and on it goes. So the Bible lays out the definition for love, something that these guys don't want. It just wants to separate law and love. But the Bible never does. Love me, keep my commandments. Love me, keep my commandments. Love me, keep. You know, remember the Shaq? Shaq came out and said,
yeah,
God the Father, I'm all about relationships. I'm not about rules.
Right.
I think that's what she said.
Yep.
That's what she said. So that's the other religion. So everybody needs to understand that's the other religion. Now, the biblical religion teaches that you love God and keep his commandments. Matthew chapter 15, Jesus is upset with the Pharisees for displacing God's commandments with the traditions of men. And then he turns to them and said, the reason you did that is because your heart was far from me. So the relationship was bad. Therefore, there was no keeping the commandments.
And that's why David was a man after God's own heart, because he said, I love your law.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. I love your law.
Not to say that we don't break it, not to say that we don't run to the cross and ask for God's forgiveness and receive his forgiveness because of Jesus' death on the cross. But the fact is, our relationship with God is characterized by a loving relationship that keeps his commandments. You can't separate those two aspects.
And isn't it odd that you can't keep the law? You break the littlest part of the law and you're condemned. And that's why we need grace.
That's right.
And because we receive grace, we keep the law to the best of our ability.
Out of love.
Out of gratitude
yeah,
for what he's done for us.
Exactly. Now here's the World in a Daily Story on Jars of Clay. And they quote R.C. Sproul Jr. from Reformation Bible College. And he had a good quote here. I want your comment on this. A day is coming when affirming a biblical sexual ethic will give one all the social cachet of being the grand wizard of the KKK. What we are witnessing is a mad rush by professing Christians to flee the ship. In so doing, they are fleeing the shame of the cross. Yeah, we look like a bunch of jerks to the world. The world is more and more defining the worst form of evil on planet Earth as how we view, or how the Bible views, homosexuality. That becomes the worst evil. At one point, it's interesting, over about 1960 years of world history, homosexuality was considered one of the most devastating sins.
Yeah.
Devastating. Because it tore everything up.
It tore
relationships up. It tore families up. It destroyed sexuality. They understood all of that. Over many, many years, they understood all of that. By the way, I've done a long, long, long study on the history of homosexuality over 1960 years of world history. But what's shifted now is this incredible demonic shift where what used to be the most devastating, most horrific thing that could ever happen to a family has become the highest virtue, probably the highest virtue. And anybody who would critique that, anybody who would align themselves with any of the Christians who have ever lived over 1960 years since Jesus was here, is considered the grand wizard of the KKK.
Right. It's we want credibility. We want credibility with the world system. And so what we do is we end up compromising. We compromise truth for something that is nebulous called love. And they don't define what they mean by love. And as a result, compromise of values and truth. And we end up on a sea of opinions with a million options and no compass to guide us.
And you want to talk about love, talk about gay Gene Robinson breaking up with his boyfriend.
Right.
Evidently, something didn't work out there either. It's just, oh boy, what's happening right now is intense. I think, yeah, Christians are going to be under a fair amount of persecution because of this zeitgeist, this move towards accepting homosexuality.
You know what's amazing is that the Jars of Clay guy,
yeah,
he walked that back, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I went too far in my comments.
Yeah.
Well, only because he got called on it.
He did.
It's just like a World Vision walking back that they were going to hire, no longer discriminate in hiring practices when it comes to homosexuals in same-sex couple relationships. They walked it back only after they got pushback. But these are deliberate comments that keep pushing the culture further and further away from, as he said, the shame of the cross.
Yeah, Sproul again. Here it is from the World Net Daily Story. When we pit one revelation of God, that he is caring and loving, against another part, that God not only forbids sodomy, but sees it for what it is, an abomination against him, we're falling into the inveterate sin of God's people, syncretism. In fact, this is replacing the worship of the true God with the worship of a God of our own making. And he gets right to the core of it. This is what people are doing. They're making up God as they go. They're making up his standards as they go. They're developing new standards. They're defining love the way they want to define love. And this is the way Christian music and Christian, quote-unquote, culture tends to go, Bill.
Right.
We're seeing people manufacturing a different Jesus. It's what I like to call the tattooed Jesus, or fill in the blank. It's another Jesus, the Mexican drug lord, Jesus. It
right.
Makes you feel good, you know? He's got something to make you feel good. But he's not the Jesus of the Bible. I don't recognize this to be the same Jesus.
We're making him into our image.
What we want him to be.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're creating him in our image.
Yeah. Which happens. So we need to get back to the word all the time. What was Jesus like? What did Jesus actually say? How did Jesus define love? Why did he love the rich young ruler and then tell him to do the most difficult thing he could ever do in order to repent of his covetousness, sell all his goods, give them to the poor? The guy couldn't handle the statement. Of course, Jesus knew that the man could not handle that, but he gave it to him anyway. He gave him something very, very, very difficult to do because he loved him, because he agape'd him. Isn't that interesting, that story? And the man could not leave his covetousness, his materialism, his sin to the side and go follow Jesus. He couldn't do it. But Jesus knew exactly what to tell him because that's the thing he needed. Now, yes, was it difficult? Yes, it was incredibly difficult. It wasn't the lovey-dovey, precious moments opportunity. No, no, no. It was a hardcore, in-your-face, okay, sell all your goods, give it all to the poor, go find a nice walking stick and come follow me. That's tough. It's really tough.
It's what we do with our children, isn't it? We love them enough to tell them the truth.
We sure do. Yeah. Okay.
You got to brush your teeth.
It's tough.
You brush your teeth. And stop eating the candy. Yep. Brush your teeth.
Yep.
Now let's go eat some steak.
Yep. And you got to go to bed by 9. Okay. We're done.
Is it our bedtime?
Not yet.
Is it bedtime?
It's not bedtime yet.
Oh, good.
It's fundraising time.
Hey.
I like this part
because you know what? It gives people the opportunity to participate in ministry.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And people people oftentimes say, "What can I do?" You know, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
The world is going to hell in a handbasket. Well, I got news for you. It always has been.
Yeah.
This is nothing new. What you're hearing here is nothing new. There has been apostasy throughout the history of the world and the church.
Yeah.
And you sit and you wring your hands in despair. Well, Jesus didn't tell us to go sit and wring. He told us to go and make disciples. And one of the ways that people can do that is by investing in ministries that proclaim truth and grace.
Sure.
And so this is an opportunity.
And Bill, they could start their own radio show too.
They could.
Yeah. You can do that if you want to.
And you encourage them to.
Yeah, sure, sure. Now, not everybody's called to do that though.
No.
So if you're not called to do that, but you'd like to support somebody who is.
Some people may be called to make a lot of money to support those who are in ministry.
You got it. You got it.
God gives different gifts.
Great plug. I'll give you $20 later.
Hey. Thanks.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to support the program, just go to our website and sign up for $10 a month, $20 a month, $100 a month, or a one-time donation. We're looking for 100 sponsors for the Generations Radio program. Remember, we reach over 100 nations around the world. We're doing 750,000 downloads per year. We're getting the word out, and we have no other sponsors but the 100 brave souls that are willing to step forward and say, hey, I am willing to stand on a biblical worldview and encourage hundreds of thousands of people around the country, around the world, to a biblical worldview. If you're interested in that, then just get behind the Generations Radio broadcast. Go to our website, click on Donate, and help us out.
Does it actually click when you push the button?
I think it does.
Does it? Does it click?
It doesn't do it on the Mac, but it'll do it on the
Mac. Oh.
All right. That's all you need to do. Go to our website and donate today at generationsradio.com or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.